Hello, everybody. Welcome to installment of It Came From Amity. I'm your host, Noah. And today I've got some sad news. Casey is no longer with the podcast. He decided for personal reasons that he had to walk away, which left old lonely Noah. But I do have a new co-host with me today, and we're going to introduce you. His name is Darren. I'm going to let you tell our listeners about who you are, maybe some things about your past, what you're looking forward to, and the kind of stuff you're into. All right, take it over, bud.
Okay, I'm Darren, and I'm in my 40s. A little bit about me. I grew up in Columbus, joined the Army when I was 18. It was April 19th, so a few months before 9/11 happened.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
So you joined, and then it happened, and you're like, well, I'm in it now.
Yeah, yeah. I was working with my cousin out in Brown County doing lawn care and stuff, and he knew I had joined, and the day 9/11 happened, he said, well, it looks like you're going to go.
Yeah.
It looks like you're going to be able to go get some revenge for us. And then 2004, I got my chance. So we got our deployment notice, and we went over to Iraq, and we were there for a year. We hauled fuel and other supplies, but that was a interesting time in life. It wasn't necessarily bad or indifferent. It oddly was enjoyable for me.
Yeah. I heard from a lot of soldiers that went to Iraq, like, obviously there was action, you know, for some of them, but for most of them, I heard it was just kind of like an extended camping trip.
Hauling fuel and supplies, we left the base pretty, like, every day. So we were always doing convoys. One of the most interesting things that I think about is we would pull over to do what we would call tire checks, basically a bathroom break.
Right.
And we would pull over in these areas that would be flat, and we would kind of make sure there was no IEDs on the side of the road or anything, and then we'd exit our vehicles. We'd have half of us pull security while half of us could kind of pee on the tires or whatnot. But there would be nobody around, and you'd be peeing on the tire. When you turned around, there would be so many kids lined up along the road.
Yeah.
And you're like, where in the world did these guys come from? They would be anywhere from like 4 to 12, but there would be 25 to 30 of them that would just appear out of nowhere.
Just like seeing what you're doing.
They would be asking for food and drink and sometimes we could give them bottles of water if we had extra or an extra MRE or whatnot. But if you threw an MRE behind them because you didn't really want to make hand-to-hand contact,
right,
you weren't sure if they would blow up on you or whatnot.
Or get too close to them or whatever.
They would, if you threw an MRE out over their heads about 10 feet behind them, they would be like feral barn cats. Like, they would all go and then
fight over it. Holy
and you'd
crap.
Be like, hey, we got more. And
so that's
you'd
wanna, so sad.
You'd want to throw like five at a time so there wouldn't be any fist fights and stuff. But I don't know if they were just laying down in the sand waiting for, but it was almost anywhere we went. It didn't have to be at a specific location. It was just anywhere.
That's crazy.
Anywhere there was flat, and there wouldn't be a village or houses or anything.
Yeah.
We called them children of the sand.
I wonder if they had, like, caves and stuff that they went down in.
I don't know. We all kind of talked about that when we'd get back to camp. Where did the kids come from?
That's insane.
But after I got back from Iraq, I had had a divorce when I got back, and that kind of hit me hard, but I ended up getting a job on Camp Atterbury, and I finished my time in the Army out there. So about 13 and a half years in the Army, National Guard full-time, a mixture of both. And then in 2014, when I got out, I started a lawn care business. And I did pretty good. I had at my highest about 250 clients.
Oh, wow.
That I would do weekly or biweekly, depending.
That's awesome.
And then 2020, I went through my second divorce with COVID and shut the business down. And
COVID was a fun time.
Yeah. That might be a whole other episode we talked about, because
conspiracies and stuff.
Yeah. I'm not a big COVID believer myself. I know it's out there, but I don't believe in like,
see, I know it's 100% real. I think we handled it wrong. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have been more for the herd immunity instead of the mandatory vaccines.
Yeah. Like let the weak die kind of thing, as much as that sucks. You know, it's nature's way of thinning the herd. And
well, kind of like chicken pox. You know, back in the day, we would have chicken pox parties to spread immunity and get it out of the way and so forth. And I had COVID, and it sucked, but it wasn't the worst thing I've ever had.
Right.
And I do know people that have died from it. So I'm not,
as with anything, you know, flu, you can die from chicken pox.
Yeah, you can. You can.
You can die from anything.
I believe it was overhyped. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Well, it got too politicized.
Too political.
So that's a whole other thing. We can do a whole other series. Yeah, dude. We could spend weeks talking about that.
So after the divorce, I was scrolling Facebook one day and found a girl that I had dated 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she had always been the girl that got away in my mind.
Okay.
Like, I'd think back and I'd always think about Katie and what she was doing and where she was at, and found out that she had been divorced or was divorced. And I reached out to her and we started talking. We picked up right where we left off 20 years ago. And having her in my life again, we got married in December, and I want to say of 2021. Hopefully she's not listening to correct me if I'm wrong, but we got married December of 2021, I believe.
Yeah, it would have been, because the pandemic didn't hit until March of 2020.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we've been, this will be our third Christmas together.
Okay.
But life has just been so nice. It's been my stress level. When you're with a supportive woman.
Yeah.
And she understands I've got PTSD, anxiety, and ADHD.
Right.
And
I've got ADHD too, so I feel that, dude.
But being with a woman that understands that, and she's got a minor in psychology,
mm-hmm.
but she's also a special education teacher.
Yeah.
She understands some of my mental disabilities, and she's not constantly nagging on me. Why didn't you get the laundry done today?
Right.
Why'd you get the laundry done, but you didn't fold the clothes?
Just making your issues worse.
Yeah.
Feeding into them instead of helping you settle, you know.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
But we've kind of together figured out kind of how to work the household, and
put this a little closer to you, just a little bit.
I am technically unemployed right now, but I'm a disabled vet, so I get my compensation from my service.
Well, that's good.
We have a small farm. We've got some horses and some goats, had a goat. Now we've got sheep and chickens and.
Okay.
So that's me.
See, what I'm seeing now from hearing your story is a plethora of subjects we could talk about.
Okay.
Right? We could talk about the horrors of war, right? Especially like Vietnam and Korea, like all those.
Yeah.
All the way up until like Iraq. Like, there's a lot of you know, PTSD and just horrors that happened.
Right.
Right. We could talk about folklore, like Iraqi, Afghan folklore, like the jinns and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
That's interesting to me. We could talk about conspiracies surrounding war.
Yeah.
COVID, we mentioned.
I could talk about a couple stories I heard from locals about Saddam's reign.
We could do that. And the horrors of Saddam. And also, you're a farm boy. So, you know, there's lore surrounding that. There's the Villisca Axe murders that we've okay. talked about. I don't know if you ever heard of that or not, but
No, that's new to me.
It's a fascinating story.
Okay.
The Villisca Axe murders. There's a bunch of different things we could talk about. So
I'd have to research it, but I've heard stories of whole herds of cattle being slaughtered by an unknown kind of out west.
Like they think it's like an alien or Bigfoot or something.
Yeah, if it's
like,
aliens or if it's
like a big
skinwalker or the Wendigo.
The Wendigo. Oh, I love the Wendigo. We did an episode on the Wendigo a long time ago. It might be time to revisit that soon because it's just so fascinating to me. You know, any kind of Native American folklore, I love that stuff.
I'm probably like a quarter Cherokee.
It's fascinating.
My grandparents were Cherokee, and they were more blooded than I am.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't want to be like, who was it? The lady in Congress that was like, I'm 100% Native American.
Right.
I'm not that, and I'm not going to claim.
I mean, I think we all have some to a certain degree. I know I have a pretty good amount. But, you know, with each generation, it lessens.
Right.
It gets watered down.
And then I don't want the Indian Nation to come and, like, confiscate my kids or anything. Because have you heard about them doing that?
No. Is it like a right thing? Like, you belong to us?
I'd have to do... I don't want to just, like, blow out my butt or anything. But I've heard stories of families that adopt kids and then they find out that that kid's over half Native American. The tribe will show up and they'll claim that kid that they need to be
part of the tribe.
Wow. And there's nothing they can really do. So
that's insane because they have, what is it, sovereignty or whatever? Like they have their own government.
I think so.
Much.
I've like I said, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Get false information.
But it's okay to speculate.
It's just kind of like a story that I've heard.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of Netflix documentaries and stuff?
No, not so much anymore.
Yeah.
My ex-wife, she liked listening to Cold Case.
Okay.
She liked the... some of the other ID documentaries
ID
stuff.
Channel, I'm always
and
watching that.
As we were going to sleep or whatnot, she'd turn on the TV and listen to one of those. And she'd be asleep in 10 minutes. Me, on the other hand, I'd get sucked into it. And 3 o'clock in the mornings rolled around. I've listened to 5 of them.
Dude, I love the ID Channel. Like, there's a lot of junk on there too, but there's also some, like Joe Kenda.
Uh-huh.
I used to love Homicide Hunter, Joe Kenda. All kinds of the first 48 on A&E. I like that. But I would say I like paranormal stuff. I think it's fun. I don't necessarily believe it.
Right. I like the unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, the
with
true crime
Robert
stuff.
Stack. And,
yep.
And
I like cold cases where they come back 40 years later.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, we missed this piece. Here's what it is now.
Yeah, it's really neat how kind of the science has evolved to catch a killer from 50 years ago when DNA and all that stuff wasn't real around yet.
Yeah, they didn't know what it was.
And all they had at the time was like fingerprints and maybe compare hair, but...
I like serial killer stuff. I mean, obviously we do a lot of that.
Jack the Ripper and
anything. Yeah. Anything like that. You know, the torso killer, like pretty much everything. The toolbox killer.
I've watched the Ted Bundy documentary. I've watched the
Dahmer.
I've watched a lot of the Dahmer stuff.
Gacy.
Robert Gacy. He was the clown.
Yeah.
Killer.
John Wayne. I think he's probably the scariest.
Yeah, because he was the guy next door. He was involved in everything. Kids loved him.
He would just flip on a dime, and you got this big hulking evil clown. Like, how freaking scary is that, dude? So
I think we all have a piece of that in us, but we have that part in our brain that says that is not a good idea.
See, serial killers are. To them, it's like hunting.
Yeah.
It's a primal thing, right? It's in their bones to overcome and victimize somebody.
Right.
You know? I'm not saying it's a good thing, but every one of us does have a little bit of that in us.
Right.
Right? Now, whether we choose to act on it or not is up to us.
And I believe a lot of kind of where we're at today... A lot of it, I think, is more to a lack of discipline and with parents and schools and so forth.
Also, a disconnect from each other because everything is so, you know.
Everything's so violent.
Yeah, or it's just, I can talk to you without being around you.
Right.
So your emotions and what you're going through does not matter to me because I'm not connected with you on a personal level.
Right.
And so then, if I kill you, then it's like, who cares?
And,
right.
And the, you don't have that with the texting and the Facebook and even on the game systems when you're texting or talking.
You're just removed from each other.
You don't get the facial recognition from each other. You don't get a sense what that person's going through.
Right.
But then it seems like society has removed the connection, the one-on-one connection.
Yeah, it has. And there's a lot of good things about social media. Obviously, being able to connect with people that you couldn't otherwise, or keeping in touch with family and friends and seeing what everybody's up to. But you don't have, for instance, when we were kids, we would just go over to a buddy's house, knock on his door, see if he's home.
Right.
Then you'd spend all day fishing or playing in the woods or whatever. Right. Right? You don't do that anymore.
No, you go out in the woods and you may not come back.
You might not come back. Or we would just go out and ride our bikes and nobody cared, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like you have to have your phone, check in with your parents because the predator might pick you up.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that back then.
Growing up, my best friend lived down the road, and we lived in a rural part of Bartholomew County. And we would just ride our bikes around, I don't know, the block. But the block in the country is like, I don't know, 10 blocks maybe.
Right.
And we would
just... A mile stretch, basically.
We'd ride our bicycles, and we would... cross the river. We had crossed the river coming back. We'd just make a big square, but we had a lot of good adventures parking at the bridge and walking down the creek. And
do you think that there are more predators nowadays, or do you think they're more prevalent, or do you think they're just more known so that it makes it seem like there's more of them?
That's a good question, because now news is like instantaneous.
Exactly.
And
we have those monitoring systems.
Yeah.
Where we know where they live and who they are, right?
Yeah. And it's taught more in school. Like if somebody's touching you inappropriately, tell somebody.
They're
and absolutely
exposed
like if anybody out there is having inappropriate touch, you know, contact the authorities.
Yeah.
But
because back in like the 70s, it was just, oh, that's just creepy Jim. Don't go around creepy Jim.
Don't go across to creepy Uncle Joe.
Yeah, but they never really exposed them, right?
Right.
It was just,
right.
He's weird, you know?
And I think it was probably easier back then for a predator to control their victim.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I will off you. I will end your family
right.
if you tell anybody.
Or make them feel ashamed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you should be embarrassed that I did this to you.
It's your
that
fault.
That kind of thing. Exactly.
We didn't have the right education,
and
I guess.
Kids don't really... Kids are smart, but they don't really think for themselves.
Right.
Sometimes.
And I think back in the day, we were coming from the end of an era where it wasn't uncommon to be married at like 15 and 16.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, back during the Great Depression, they wanted to get rid of their kids as
soon as you could have babies. They were like out the door, you know, go make babies.
Yep. So maybe it was more of an acceptable thing, but
well, I mean, even
and
in,
then even not, I guess, the sexual part of it, but just like murder, you wouldn't know as quick,
right? You wouldn't.
Well,
and when you're talking about like socially accepted, like in ancient times, they would hang around little boys and little girls. Socrates had his little stable of boys that he slept with.
Like, right.
It was just something that just happened, right? Now, it's obviously wicked and it's not justified, but it's always been around. It's not anything new.
Right.
I just feel like now we have those tools and we realize what's happening so we can expose them, and it just makes it seem like there's more of them.
Right.
Right.
And Scripture says that it is better to tie a millstone around your neck and drown yourself in the ocean than to mess with the children.
With kids, yeah.
And so kind of taking that into understanding, just don't do it.
Don't do it. So.
Yeah, and then, you know, like Noah's not been on Facebook for a couple days. Okay, that's not uncommon, but if you don't see anything from somebody for a few days,
you start to worry.
Then you can start to check in with them.
Right.
Back then, back in our early days, you know, there wasn't anything like that. So
I mean, it's like if my buddy, I had a buddy that I talked to all the time on the phone because I didn't live in Edinburgh. I lived out here.
Right.
So I couldn't just go into town. Right. So there'd be nights where we'd stay on the phone until 4 a.m. just chatting like buddies.
Right.
There'd be days where if he didn't call me for 2 or 3 days, I would worry. Right.
Right.
I'd have to wait to see him at school. What happened, man? It's not like that now. You just get on your phone and it's like, you know, like you earlier, I got on the messenger. Darren was active 4 minutes ago. So it's like, oh, he's good then.
Yeah.
He's probably on his way. But back then it was just, if they weren't on the phone with you or in sight, they just disappeared into the nether. It's like, do they exist anymore?
They went into the upside down.
Yeah, they're just gone.
And then you see your friend at school on Monday. Well, we took a weekend trip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, there is a theory. I can't remember what it's called. It's some theory where if you can't see something, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
So, like, if you are the main character in your own world.
Right.
And right now, I see you, so you are part of my world, and you exist.
Right.
Once you drive out of my driveway, and I don't see you or hear from you, you just go poof. Like, you're just gone.
Well, I can assure you, I'm around.
Isn't that a crazy theory, though, if that was true? So, I'll have to find the name of that. I think we could talk about that sometime.
Okay. It's the Army when... we were in basic training. If a kid was taken too slow to get out to formation, the drill sergeant would say, "Come on, private, it's your world. We're just living in it."
Right. That's exactly, yeah. It's almost like a simulation theory, you know, simulation theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like that. But there's so many fun theories out there, conspiratorial or not. There's a lot of stuff we want to talk about. I didn't want to just quit this podcast because I've put so much time and money and energy into this. Casey didn't want me to just quit it. He just felt like it was time for him to move on. So if you're listening still, I appreciate that you're still listening. We're going to miss Casey, but we're on to different things. So I feel like Darren's going to bring stuff to the table, some fresh stuff, and it's going to be the same. Not much is really going to change, honestly. I mean, we just spent a half hour randomly talking about stuff, which is what we do. So yeah. It's not going to change, guys, but continue to support us, and we appreciate that. If you have any topics that you want to hear, comment, send them to our Facebook page. It came from Amity, and you'll be seeing some more uploads from us here. So anything you want to add?
Thanks for having me today. And I'm looking forward to this.
Cool.
It'll be a fun time, and definitely. Yeah.
Have you ever like podcasted before or anything?
I've done Facebook Live here and there, but yeah, never an official podcast.
Like a themed thing like that?
No.
Okay.
No. So well, this is a first for me.
This is the first for Darren. It's, I don't know how many hundreds of episodes I've done, but I enjoy it every time, and I'm glad that we have people that actually listen to us. So we're just two idiots trying to make their way in the world, right?
Absolutely.
So thanks for listening. See you later.